begins to say, we need to pray for some of these godly virtues that we'd want to have that would show what our fruit is. Somebody tells you they're saved, there should be fruit. Word of God says there should be fruit. If somebody truly has the love of God in them, there should be some evidence of it. Now, let's don't get off into this works-oriented stuff. Okay? James said, show me somebody that's saved and I'll show you their works. Not that they work to get saved, but it's a product of that. Okay? Let's don't mix that up. There's denominations out there that do. But works is a product of your salvation. You know, you're going to begin to be more selfless and think about others. You're just going to do those kind of things. 2 Peter, I'm sorry. In verse number 3, he says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So God's called us to glory and virtue. Now, those were things that were mentioned about Christ while He was here on earth. His glory was His heavenly being. When the angels were in the field at His birth, they sang glory. Glory to God in the highest. Goodwill has come unto men. His glory was being presented. When He went up at His ascension, He was surrounded by a cloud, possibly the Shekinah cloud that was over them in the wilderness, that presence of God. But there was glory there. And He says, and virtue. Virtue was His earthly reputation, if you will. His virtue. And that's, these are the things that will produce that. In verse 4 He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Well, promises are something we've got to be careful with. You know, with all good intention that we have, we promise somebody something, and something goes awry. And it just doesn't work. The promises that God gives, the promises aren't what we rely on. It's who's making the promises. That's what we rely on. You know, if somebody promises to give you something, man, you're so happy because you're going to get whatever that is. You're relying on whatever that is instead of relying on the one that promised it. And that's what we have in the one that promised the precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that we're dead to sin. I'll tell you that I don't always believe that, because I sin. I'll tell you that you may not always believe that, because you sin. It's a faith issue. You know, we don't have any problem believing that Jesus walked on the water, or that He fed the 5,000, or He healed the lame. But He also said we're dead to sin. And that's where it gets a little muddy. I don't know why that is. I mean, I understand the weakness of the flesh and the giving in to things. But Paul said, you're dead to that. You just got to realize it. You've got to have the faith to realize that we're dead to that. But he says, if you put on this divine nature, you know, I told you last week, it's nothing that we can do to walk through this world in our human bodies. We just don't have the means to do it. We have to live His life. We have to walk in Christ. You know, we have to be dead, buried, and resurrected in Christ just to make it through this world. You know, just the few things that people raise their hand that have befell them this week to say, hey, pray for us so that we can get through this. Or, hey, thanks for praying for us. We were able to get through this. You know, I mean, I love it when people say, hang on, I don't have a problem, I got a praise. I just want to thank God for what He's done. You know, God's always right on time. It's us that begin to worry about it. And man, God is so faithful. Again, it's who's making the promises. You know, we worry so much about our needs. God said, I'll supply your every need, right? Why do we even give that a thought? You know, just keep going. You know, keep messing things up with all your wants. He'll handle your needs. You just keep stirring the pot with your wants. But he says in verse 5, he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So you've got faith, and we talked about this last week, that a gentleman asked me, he said, do you get more faith? You know, is there another, you know, whatever, the second blessing, is there more faith? What's the deal with do we have as much faith as we're... Of course we don't. Our faith grows. We call it experience. You know, you get to a point and you experience some things you know, as y'all Sunday school teacher, I only have a few points of reference, okay? When I was 4 years old, my dad was the world champion cowboy. So I've been a little buckaroo all my life. I don't really know a whole lot of other things. I experienced a lifetime full of it where that's what I did. Now, early on, as I began to get into the rodeo stuff, I was scared to death. My mom used to give us $1 a day for milk and stuff for your school lunch. We would save that dollar and not eat it. And by the end of the week, we'd have $5. Well, so happened that we could go to Mansfield to the Cowbell Indoor Rodeo, and for $5, we could get on the little junior bulls. Man, we had our money. We were ready to go. But we didn't have a ride. So we began to call parents and call people. Man, we'd call y'all if we had your phone number. Because we wanted to get there. Man, we would finally find somebody that would come get us in the nick of time and take us down there. And we'd get down there and we'd pay our little $5 that we'd saved all week. And then be petrified, scared to death. I'm telling you, scared to death. Go down there and land on your head, get up and wait on Monday, save that dollar again. To be scared to death. But in our lesson today, we learned that love is what our spirit is, not the spirit of fear. You know, you wonder how, and just to relate to each other, when we're in a marriage and you can do things for someone else, or, you know, you see someone run into a burning house to get somebody out. Man, weren't they scared to death? There was no fear because there was love there. I'll tell you that, and I don't know how many bucking bulls I've been on, several thousand. And I think back to it now and I go, man, I don't know that I'd do it today because I don't have the love for it that I did then. The love for it that I had then took away all fear. Man, I wasn't afraid of man or beast. If it had hair on it, I could ride it or get wrecked trying, get up and do it again. But it was a love. And I see that in my life that you don't have a spirit of fear when there's love involved. And that's the same way with our relationships. There's no fear in that. The early church was being persecuted, but they loved Jesus Christ so much they weren't afraid. They were more concerned with who was making the promises than what the promises were. They had faith that He said, I'm going to take you through it. In this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Miss Roberta has been going through some stuff at work. She came over Wednesday and she said, you know, it didn't work out for me. And I said, you know, God's got something else. And she said, I'm so tired of hearing that. I said, you know what? You're exactly right. But when it's my turn, and I expect you to say, hey, God's got something else for you. You know, you get to say, hey, God's got something else. God's got something in mind. You know, let God do what He's got going on. Let's don't try and intervene and say, no, God, change your mind and do this way because this is the way I'm thinking, because it could get into a mess. You know, we better be careful with that. Peter says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is moral excellence. We should meditate on virtue. That's genuine goodness. Look at Philippians 4:8. We're going to turn to a few chapters or verses today. So Philippians 4:8. I'm there. I'm going to read it. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Man, you want to know what you should think about? There it is. Just make a note in your Bible. Those are the things that you should think about. He says, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. You want to know what will strengthen your faith? Peter says, add these things to it. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Man, I love knowledge. When Solomon was asked of God, what do you want? God, the creator of the universe, said, tell me what you want, I'll give it to you. Come on, everybody. I want $1 million. You know how long that lasts today? Not very long. Then what have you got? We all know what Solomon asked for. He asked for wisdom. See, I've went and got a lot of knowledge. I've got a college degree from university. I've got some other certificates. Got a lot of knowledge, but wisdom is applying that knowledge. You know, you can get knowledge reading the Bible, but wisdom is applying those verses. That's what really makes it work is having the knowledge and then having wisdom to apply that knowledge. He says, to get knowledge. Now, how do we get wisdom? Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. God gives us wisdom. You know, I've told y'all, numerous ones of y'all come up and you say, I've got a question. I immediately begin to pray, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom in whatever they're fixing to ask me. You know, give me enough wisdom, as Dr. Henderson and I talked last week, to say, I don't know. He said, I don't have any problem saying I don't know. You know, we we'll talk about it here in a minute, but there's so much stuff. Knowledge is gnosis, which is knowledge acquired by learning, effort, and experience. That's the knowledge that we're supposed to add to. We should expound on the truths of the Bible that we know, not the unknown truths. And there's so many people that want to talk about the things that I don't have any idea about. You know, I can't explain heaven to you. I've got kind of an idea, but I really can't explain heaven to you. You know, I always used to see the streets of gold and the river running along beside there and all the trees and stuff. But it's a cube. And it's different layers. And that's what the Revelation says. It's 1,360-mile cube. That's not the vision that I had. Sorry. I can't explain heaven to you. My wife and I got an opportunity to witness last night. She said, explain the Trinity. I can't. I can't explain three in one. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each acting separately, but they're one. Is Jesus God? Of course He is. Then how did He... Explain that to me. I can't explain it. There's things that I just don't understand. So we should expound on the things we know. I enjoy teaching knowns. Things that we know. Where's Jesus Christ? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We know that. We know that's where He's at. Where's Satan at? We know that he's loosed around in the world. That he can go back and forth and petition to God. I mean, we know these things. Those are some knowns that we can deal with. Forget the unexplained or the unexplored truths. Man, we've got eternity to learn all that. We've got too many people hung up on, well, you know, if you can just explain to me this, then I'll come and sit and listen to your church. Well, I can't explain that. Sorry, you're out. You know, I don't know. But he says, to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance. Temperance is strength. We get that by tempered steel, the term tempered. It's self-control. Man, I lack self-control beyond all of y'all. You know, I got to where I got to running when we did the Biggest Loser earlier this year. And I've tried to keep up the running. And I realized that when I run, my mind can make my body do what it doesn't want to do. When I rode bulls, my mind made my body do what it didn't want to do. They got in several arguments. We're fixing to get on that big bull. We're what? No, have you looked at it? No, we're not going to do it. Yeah, we're going to do that. The mind said we're going to do it, and the body said, no, I don't want to. You know, sometimes the mind made the body do things that, wow, we're going to get in trouble for this one, you know? But just in running, I realized that my mind can make my body do things that my body says, hey, we can't do this. I told y'all that when I began to run, not one time did I ever leave my place running out on the country roads out there. Not one time did I ever leave my house and not think, I can't do this today. I can't make it. Every time I took off, I can't make it. And about an hour later, I come running back, tongue hanging out, sweating like everything. But I did it. My mind said, we're going to do this. And my mind made my body do what it wanted to do. Now, here's the catch. God, renew my mind. Renew my mind. Man, that's my prayer every day. Renew my mind. So that I do the things of God and not the things that my body wants. You know? Well, I'll eat more dessert. I'll eat another plate of food. Those kind of things. I mean, there's other things, but the mind can tell the body what to do or not to do. God, renew my mind. Strengthen our minds. How do we do that? By the Word of God. He says, add to knowledge, temperance. Here it is. Be careful. To temperance, patience. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And how many times a week do you meet somebody and says, well, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. I just don't know what God has for me. God still got me here. God's doing something. I don't understand. There it is right there. if you pray for patience, you'll find what the will of God is for your life. Because it says in 2 Peter that patience brings on godliness. That's the goal. That's the goal in whatever you do. I don't care what your walk of life is. It should glorify Jesus Christ. Whatever it is. If you're a photographer, if you're a ditch digger, it should glorify Christ. However it is, whether it's making that money coming up here and sending missionaries out, or whether it's witnessing to someone on the job, it always should glorify Christ. Now, I haven't always been that way. My son, again, for we got visitors, plays college football. He showed up 2 weeks ago and he had the I am second on his helmet. And had a I am second bracelet on, and I just commented on it. I don't know if y'all are aware of it, but it's a little group deal that professional athletes and celebrities give their testimony and tell what God did for them, and they put God first in their life, which puts them second. I am second. So my son has this on his helmet, and my wife made the comment to me. She said, you know, did something go on with him or what? So my son and I are tight, and I just kind of hit him up about it. And I said, hey, did you have some kind of revelation or something this week? And he said, no, not really, Dad. Just, kind of, sort of. You know, one of them conversations. He said, you know, I just realized that I'm not as outspoken for Christ as I was when I was in high school. You know, now I'm in college. Got to be cool. You know. And in high school, he was very outspoken for Christ. You know, I told him, just commenting on it, I said, you know, I see your point. In high school, you know, he would run over kids and just do all kind of stuff to them physically and then pick them up and dust them off and encourage them, say something encouraging to them. Man, that's exemplifying Christ. You can play hard, but exemplify Christ. And I said, yeah, you know, he doesn't do that now because they're all trying to kill him now, you know, physically. But he said, I'm not as outspoken as I was and I want to be. So through his endeavors, he's trying to start a chapter of I Am Second at his university, and hopefully that, again, glorifies Christ. The only reason that he has God-given talent to do the sports he does is to glorify Christ. It's not to do anything for him personally, and it's none for us either. You know, I thought the abilities that I had was so that I would be really cool and get a beautiful wife and do all that kind of stuff. But that wasn't it at all. And until I learned that, it was a struggle. And then I learned that, hey, I'm supposed to be doing this to glorify Christ. Patience will give us godliness. Godliness is to be devout, to do things that are pleasing to God. That's what godliness is. Somebody says, man, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. There it is. The will of God is to do pleasing things for God. Now, what does that consist of? That consists of being selfless, helping others when they're in need. I've tried to restrain this all I can, but yesterday my wife and I were coming up here to set up the rodeo, and Jerry and Judy come to help us, and we stopped to get some gas, and I went in, I come back out, and a lady was standing there talking to my wife, nice dressed lady, and she had her hand out, had some change, and I just walked up on the scene, and my wife said, well, here's what I've got. The lady came up and said, do you have some change? I said, ma'am, do you just need some gas? And she said, yeah, I just began to tell me her story. You know what? I've had people give me gas before. Fill my truck up. So I just filled her car up. She was on the end, you know, down and out. I guess had everything she owned in her car. Was trying to get to a job interview, so she said, and didn't have the gas. So I just helped her out. And I didn't say that for y'all to know what I did. But that made me feel pretty good. I don't know what she did with it. I don't care. You know? It's helping someone else out. That's a virtue. That's what we should do. To be devout. To do the things that are pleasing to God. Look at 1 John chapter 4. Verse 16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." I said before, I used to pride myself on I wasn't afraid of man or beast, because I had love for it. There's things that I have love for now that I have no fear in. I have no fear in my marriage. There could be fear there. I have no fear in that. Because I have the perfect love of God. He says, where there's love, there's no fear. Verse 19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." That's very important, y'all. He first loved us. No show of hands. God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me right now. God doesn't love me, right? No, He first loved us. Because before we were ever thought about, He sent His Son to die on the cross. That's how much He loved us. When you get that picture and you see how much God loves us, you begin to understand how we can love each other. Go back to 2 Peter. He says, "And godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity." Brotherly kindness is God's family. Charity is agape, which is the very highest kind of love. The kind of love that God has for His Son. Love can be known only by what it does. You say, "Oh, I love you." Show me that. You can say it all day. My wife's family's real big on, "I love you." You know, be on the phone, "I love you." I don't say that a lot. You know, I'm just no hick cowboy. I just don't say it. But when I say it, I mean it. But more importantly than say it, show it to me. Now, her family shows it, but you can go around saying anything you want to, but show it to me. The only way that you can see love is show it to me. You want to see how God loved us? He showed us. He sent His Son into this world to die for our sins. That's pretty strong love, isn't it? Pretty strong love. Look in 2 Timothy, and we'll close. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We pray, that's the power we have. We express our love as God expressed His love to one another. And then of a sound mind. "God, renew my mind. Renew my mind that I would have the mind of yours." Man, if we had the mind of God, this world would be a breeze. We stand around too much looking at circumstances and fear, which God didn't give us. You know, and again, when you're in the fire, and somebody says, oh, praise God, you know, boy, you're going to get some good out of it. Yeah, you're in the fire. But we all go through it. And I hope when it's my turn in the fire, y'all come to me and say, hey, praise God. Praise God, it's all going to be good. Right? Because that's what we need to do. Because it is going to be good. God loves us. You know, God's not going to put us through anything that we can't go through. God loves us so much that He sent His Son. Let's pray. Lord, thank You again for the time that we could spend. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would add to our faith, Lord, these virtues that we talked about. And Lord, that we would again get knowledge of Your Word, Lord, that we could apply it in our lives. Lord, bless all the prayer requests. Bless the service to follow in Christ's name.